to me.
Information, news, and entertainment on demand.
WSRadio.com.
Welcome back to the CEO Hour with your host and executive coach, Bruce Peters.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for continuing to be with us on this beautiful, beautiful March 18th in upstate New York, 2011. Mm-hmm. I'm Bruce Peters, along with Diana Pilates, and we're continuing our fascinating conversation with CEO, author, motivational speaker, Dr. Nat Williams.
Before the break, we learned about his latest book a little bit, The Affordability Factor, The Four C's of Change. He was talking about the fifth C in there, courage, and he's also took his speech on the road to our troops in Europe. So call in with your thoughts or questions.
888-327-0061, or you can tweet us at WCOHQ Radio.
Dr. Nat, we were talking about courage and...
And the C's.
And the C's. Yeah, what are the C's?
Well, again, we've just inserted, based on my experience of going across, overseas to talk to the troops, they gave me that and helped me to understand that fifth C. So I've added that, but I realize that's where everything has to launch from. Then you need to support them by concepts, next by communications, next by collaborations, and lastly by the consequences that you're trying to work for. That everything starts with courage. Then you have the ability to think it. Then you have the ability to talk it. Then you have the ability to work with others, and then you have the ability to experience it. So it's courage, it's concepts, it's communications, it's collaborations, and its consequences. And if we understand that everything, that especially the things that go well, start with that first thing, and then it's supported by all the other things after that. So that's been something that has been most helpful to me, that I recognize I had the courage to overcome my situation. Then I had some concepts. I had, you know, when I was like 17, 18, I had this idea of opening, you know, having a foster care agency, and named it after, and named the foster care agency after my mother. And then I got my brothers and sisters to come along with me. But I had a concept. I then communicated it. I got others to collaborate with me. And hence, you know, 18 years later, the agency is still going, and I experienced the consequence for that effort. So just keeping in mind that that's the sequence. And I want to just highlight for you that there are four C's of oppression that go on in our life as well, and those are controversies and control issues and conflicts and comparisons. You can go in any of those doors to cause craziness, but if you're going to put together a strategy...
That's another C, isn't it? Craziness.
There you go. That you can go through any of those doors to cause a problem and to oppress yourself and others, but if you want there to be change, those are the five C's of real change. Is the C's that we just talked about.
Right. And what does that mean, the affordability factor?
Sure. That was a book that really changed my life, and it's been nice to see how it's helped others as well. Affordability factor is basically a financial or a banking kind of term. They look at you and they determine what your affordability factor is, what your risk factor is. But I used it in a different sense, to look at our lives and to see how affordable are we and how affordable are others. And sometimes we have priced ourselves out of the market of dealing with decent, good people because we are just too high maintenance. And what I realized, all of us have had challenging events in our life, and for whether we realize it or not, it's made us pretty sour. It's made us pretty harsh. And so our affordability has gone down because of that. And so the affordability factor asks you to look at yourself and gauge yourself and to recognize the things you want based on who you are. Are you really affordable enough to purchase those people, places, and things that you want? So that was the thrust behind the affordability factor, that we've had events and we have to figure out a way to reframe the events that have happened. So when I look at the death of my mother, I had to reframe that event because if I stayed in that event, it was going to be way too painful. And I recognize 35 years after she died, and I'm now 46.
Hey, me too.
and she died when I was 5. For 35 years, I stood at the foot of my mother's casket, not knowing I was standing there. Went off to be a husband and a father and a CEO, but the pain of that event carried forth for way too many years. So I had to reframe that, and the simplest way to reframe something is to recognize you made it to the other side. Mm-hmm. Now please live like you did. So again, reframing a situation, and not the way you feel about it, but reframing the concepts that you have. And again, so often is that we made it to the other side. Can we live like we did, and try to celebrate that mm-hmm. situation? And a lot of these things are painful, but it's already happened. It was one day that we have turned into hundreds, if not thousands, of days of pain, and that was not the way it was supposed to be.
Look at yourself as the champion you are. You made it.
Right.
You know, it's,
and one of the things that is so
revel in that.
One of the things that is so important, Diana, is one of my classmates said, there's a television, there's a telephone, and then there's Telnet. And my feeling is if I have it, others will have it, and my job is not to hoard what I've learned. And so, to me, every opportunity that I can get to try to share with people some insight on one man's journey, I attempt to do that. And I think it's so important that everyone doesn't allow for themselves to be silenced, that we all have stories to tell. And your program is a good example of where you're helping people to be able to tell their story as you tell your story, so that they can make a change in their lives and the lives of others.
As you were telling yours, I was reminded of a guest we had on the show very early on the show, who also experienced a loss early in life. And his reframing was similar, but his language for it was that my reframing is, I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to live my life honoring my mother, and I'm not going to live my life in the pain of my mother, but I'm going to use that to honor who she was and what
exactly.
she was all about,
right.
and that by living my life that way, that's the best way I can do that.
For sure. That's
so wonderful. It was an interesting, as I said, you say, and I love the language of that, how you frame things means everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, Bruce, that you bring up, I wrote another book after The Affordability Factor. It's called Attaining Your Personal Best, understanding it's your personal best, no one else's. And what I ask people to do is to get mad. And what I mean is to change your mindset, which is the M, to change your attitude, and to change your demeanor. And that's how you get even, is by getting mad, by saying, you know what, I'm going to think different, I'm going to behave different, and then I'm going to exhibit something different, and that's going to be the way that things change in my life. So, again, I think it's so important that we do something about the situation. We have so many people out there that are narrating life. We need to have people out there that are doing life and living life, and that's what's so important.
I know you have your talk show, and is this what you shared with the troops as you went through Europe?
Yes, and it was so powerful. We were able to go to a couple of bases in the UK. Then we went to Kosovo, which I thought was probably the most profound experience. And we came back and went to the Netherlands, and then we went to Spain, and then Portugal, and then Italy over 19 days. And it really was an event that changed my life and changed my perspective. And I'm so honored to have had that period of time to go ahead and to do that. But that, you're right, that's the message I shared with them.
So what happened in Kosovo? What was the
Kosovo
experience?
Was so powerful in the sense that they're a three-year-old country, and they're still very impoverished, and they have some challenges. And the military is basically in a deployed state, which means that they're not in a war state, but the one step below that. And so to get onto the base, you had to get out of the car and have it inspected for bombs. And then to leave the base, you had to do the same thing. So it takes you about 15 minutes to get on the base and 15 minutes to get off the base. But these individuals, over the last 8 or 9 month tours that the troops have been there, they've taken on a project to go into the city and to teach children how to read and write English. Even though they're in this very militarized state, they've taken the time to do that. And that was so profound for me to recognize, here are these people, for lack of a better term, are fighting a war, and they're still taking the time to think of others, because they recognize if we leave them behind and we don't help them do better, we'll end up having to pay the consequence for mm-hmm. that. And one of the things that was interesting, and you said that, I think, earlier about adversity, sometimes people don't see the adversity. We ask the children there, what do you feel about the oppression that you're experiencing? And they looked at us like, oppression?
What?
We ain't got no oppression. Our mother and father had oppression.
Famous Woody Allen movie. We didn't know we were poor.
Exactly.
You don't know how good you have it.
Exactly.
It
was interesting talking with them. But what's nice about, social media is they've become friends on Facebook, and they've continued the conversation. But again, what was so wonderful was to see what these troops are doing. And risking their lives to go in two times a week to go in and teach these kids, and how grateful they are, which just blew my mind. And the other piece, along with the troops, because they're stationed overseas, anything of America, they are so happy to experience. So I could have been, you know, Bozo the Clown, but they would have been so grateful because they give up so much, and I don't think we recognize how much they give up in order to serve. And some of them
and their families, for that matter.
And some of them are fortunate enough to bring their families over there. But even if they bring their family, the other part of their family is still over here.
Right.
So all that they're sacrificing, and again, you're talking, you know, I've met so many mothers with, you know, with two or three children that are back home, and fathers, and it was just amazing. And in Kosovo, the deployed team there was from Puerto Rico. So you had all these reservists from Puerto Rico that were stationed there, and again, people just have no idea how much sacrifice that they're going through. And again, I was in a room it was almost like a ship container with windows, but I recognized I had nothing to complain because I was going to be out of there. But these individuals have to be there for 8 or 9 months at a time, and they do that with a sense of loyalty and dedication that really blew my socks off. And so, again, it was just a humbling experience to see all that people are sacrificing for this country. And whether you agree with war or don't agree with war, this is their job and they signed up for it, and they're doing it with a sense of honor that just, again, was very amazing to me.
I may not agree with you, but I'll, you know, respect and fight for your right to believe what you believe. That's what they do, you know. They are everywhere, and we have to really remember them. And what was the reaction from the soldiers?
One of the things that was so powerful,
are you okay?
Yeah. Even thinking about it at this particular point makes me emotional in the sense that so many of them came and said, "It seems like you were speaking to me and you understood my circumstance." And to me, that was very very powerful to hear them to say that someone was able to come and to speak to them.
Every once in a great while, the break actually comes along at the right time.
Sure.
What a wonderful gift that you shared and were given for doing that.
And thank you.
Thank you. When we come back, we're going to have more with Dr. Nat Williams, more about his trip overseas and his role as a dad these days.
You're listening to WCOH2's The CO Hour on WS Radio, the worldwide leader in internet.
In San Diego alone, of the estimated 8,500 people that are homeless, 25% or approximately 2,100 have mental illness. Mental illness can be successfully treated through supportive housing, integrated mental health services, primary health care, alcohol and drug services, case management, and social services. To help homeless people living with mental illness gain stability and live more productive lives, log on to housingmatterssd.org. That's housingmatterssd.org.
Do you want to be a professional coach? Are you in business trying to make a real difference with people you manage or work with? Have you started a coaching practice that isn't quite getting off the ground? Get the skills you need to be a successful coach today with the Coach's Training Program from Accomplishment Coaching. The Coach's Training Program will show you how to help others focus and be more fulfilled. Whether you want to improve your company's bottom line or create a thriving coaching practice, Accomplishment Coaching can give you the distinctions and practices you need to coach others effectively today. Accomplishment Coaching has spent 6 years developing a cutting-edge coaches training program that will have you ready to coach people professionally in just 12 months, and you don't have to take time off work to do it. To find out more about the coaches training program, just call 1-888-548-6813. That's 1-888-548-6813.
Touch the screen.
Amazing.
No, really, touch it. Go ahead and experience it. Imagine at your next trade show or event, giving your customers and prospects a unique brand experience. Immersing them in your brand and creating an environment for them to not just see, but to virtually touch and feel your products and services. Multi-touch presentations enhance the touchscreen experience. Avery Marketing develops customized applications for multi-touch presentations. You can now interact with your media using multiple touches and gestures on video displays, giving your audience a customized, interactive experience that will leave them asking for more. To see some of our custom presentations and find out if multi-touch or any of our other marketing services are right for you, visit our website at averymarketing.com. Avery Marketing, fresh perspective, exceptional craft, inspired creative. Avery Marketing provides strategic brand marketing solutions that engage customers and prospects in your brand experience.
Do political campaigns use the web effectively? I'm Karen Jagoda, president of eVoter Institute and host of Digital Politics Radio. Each week, we talk with traditional and digital media experts about how the internet and mobile technologies are changing the way voters interact with candidates, politicians, and advocacy groups. Digital Politics Radio is a nonpartisan program, but I'm a technology evangelist. Listen to Digital Politics Radio every week on WS Radio and at digitalpoliticsradio.com.